You're listening to the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, episode 77, Google Will Ruin Everything on July 1st.
I just want to cover the fact that graphene is officially the carbon nanotubes of 2013.
Mm.
So last couple of years have been carbon nanotubes and all the cool things of the hyper efficient electrical transfer and super strong and everything. And then nobody figured out how to manufacture it at scale, which makes it pretty useless. So they're still working on that, but graphene, what is graphene? Graphene is essentially a single molecule thick sheet of carbon. It's similar to graphite in that graphite
talked about this last week, didn't we? Because I thought it had to do with charts.
Yes. Yes, we did. We did talk about graphene last week. You're right. And this is the thing, is that it's like it's becoming more and more, because you know what graphene was used for? It was used for supercapacitors. That's what that whole that graphene was the cool new thing that they were doing with that. Well, they're doing even more now. Graphene is being used in like audio speakers, and they're finding that like the audio response on it is just fantastic.
Cool.
It's unbelievably good. So they're like, wow, these are really cool speakers. But the other big one that they're talking about is desalinating water with carbon or with graphene. And
that's what normally you do with carbon filters. Well, normally it's just a regular filter. It's not for salt.
No. Yeah, because this is because basically what you need to do is you need to make the holes on this thing small, big enough to let water molecules through, but too small to let salt molecules through. So we're talking very small holes.
Yeah.
And traditionally how desalination plants work is that's exactly what it is. They're giant filters that make like these tubes of filters that have tiny, tiny little holes and these filters are super thin, so that the molecules can work their way through it. And then they just super pressurize the water, and the water basically just leaches through this stuff. And as it comes through, it comes out with more water. It's reverse osmosis is the correct term, chemical term, for pushing the desalinated water through, and it's all like super clean and stuff. It's a very cool process, but it's really, really expensive because it requires so much pressure for such a sustained period of time that it's enormously expensive. It's one of the most expensive ways to clean water, but if you could do it, you basically would solve any water problems that we have, because we've got an unbelievable amount of salt water on the planet and just not quite enough fresh water.
We do have a little bit of that.
Yeah, and so if we could just like plug one of these into the ocean, that'd be really great. Well, Lockheed Martin, which makes this more legit, has been working with this new technology, and they're expecting to be manufacturing it at scale in 2 years, which is kind of crazy, because that's not one of those like we'll do it in 5 years. Like, no, we're talking like we have an actual timeline to be able to do this. And essentially, what they're saying is because we're able to get graphene as a single sheet of molecules with the holes punched in them at the right size, it requires about 100 times less pressure to desalinate the water. So it's 100 times more efficient. Yeah, it's crazy efficient compared to these other ways of doing it. And what they basically said, it was like if you were to make graphene and blow it up to the size, so it was the size of a thickness of a piece of paper, the next thinnest filter would be the equivalent of 3 reams of paper, which is about a foot and a half. So, I mean, it's just insane how much, you know, how much thinner these things are, and they're incredibly strong. So they're able to take the pressure, and so you can push water through and desalinate for the first time, which is very exciting. So hopefully, this big war that everybody was expecting to happen over water in the next 20 years will be completely avoided because we cracked the code on this one. And the big thing with graphene, just like carbon nanotubes, is can you manufacture it at scale? But that's one of the most exciting parts about it. And like with those supercapacitor things, people, I guess, have known for a long time that graphene is well, not necessarily a long time, but it's not necessarily revolutionary to think that graphene can work as a supercapacitor. But the big deal, one of their biggest innovations in that whole thing was how they manufactured it. They did it really, really cheaply, and they could do it on a large scale. And so this one might actually change stuff, which would be pretty cool. It's a good time to be alive, but definitely this year has been the year of graphene. I don't know if, you know, it's the new wonder material.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
2011 was like the year of liquid metal. 2007 was the year of Gorilla Glass. 2012 was carbon nanotubes. It's awesome. But all right, that's all I had to say about that.
That's awesome. Graphene.
Yeah.
Should become an expert in that.
I kind of am.
Done.
It's funny. I don't. Not many people know this, but I'd like to go back to grad school at some point. Okay, a lot of people know that, but nobody who listens. Probably not very many people who listen to the show. But I'd like to go back to grad school at one time because I want to be a doctor. It has nothing to do with what I want to learn.
I mean, there's doctorate, or you want to be a doctor, like an MD.
I want to be Dr. Furlow in robotics, not an MD. When I write is MD Furlow, which so I already kind of have the medical doctor thing going on. I'd like a doctorate in philosophy, in the area. All engineering PhDs are philosophy degrees.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what PhD stands for, philosophy doctor.
I knew that. Just testing you.
Exactly. What was I going to say?
I don't know.
The two things I've always wanted to go back for was robotics, because robots are really cool. But the other one, because I just find it fascinating, is actually materials study. And because I think, because I love materials stuff. It's so weird. I don't understand, but it's like, it's all the lattices and chemical compositions. And I don't know why, but like.
That is weird.
I studied so little for that class. I actually walked into one of the tests. I had friends that studied for this. Like, I brag about this story all the time. I had friends that studied for like 3 days, like put in 20 hours in 3 days of studying just for this one test. I studied for 30 minutes before I walked into the room and set the high score on for the class.
So you have a natural ability there.
It was pretty awesome. And I was really good friends with the teacher because I was like just kind of a natural at the whole thing. It was because for whatever reason, I could visualize what was going on. Like, it made sense in my, like.
You didn't have to memorize. You just had to work through how it works.
Exactly.
That makes a difference.
Yeah. And I'm
proud to say that I was like that with accounting, okay?
I didn't
memorize it. I just understood it.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Every single business person who's listening to this just hates me.
Vomited. Yeah. That's all right.
Usually that's the cut class. You know, it's like that's the class that schools use to cut people out of their program, which we have relatives who did not pass that class the first time or second time through it.
Sometimes.
And I was like you, where I was like, this just makes sense. Why are you memorizing this? Just think through it. Like, it doesn't make sense at all. Like, no, it's just arithmetic with labels. Why is this hard?
I totally get it.
Apparently it's hard. I don't know.
they used to send for the engineering management degrees at my school, they made them take accounting, and they'd make them take accounting with the business students. And the engineers would always just like, they'd get out of the class and just be like, I can't believe how dumb some of those people are. You're like, no, they're not dumb. They're smart in their own way. But it's like, you give somebody with like a little bit of a math knowledge and they're like, dude, accounting is easy. Which I don't know. I never took it. I might have it more difficulty with it than I want to admit. But I was good with material science. I find it fun. So that's why I cool. like to bring all our material stuff, because
you would probably,
I think it's interessante.
You'd probably have fun with that. Or be totally bored, one of the two.
Yeah. No, you know the best part about it is there are so many new materials all the time. It's like super easy to become the world's expert in whatever, because it's like you can be like you can become in a matter of like a week the leading expert of, I kid you not, of flange fittings for built out of polyethylene. Flange fittings made of polyethylene and their structural response to stuff, because nobody's ever studied it before. You can't do that with concrete, because everybody studied everything about concrete. So it's like the most boring material out there, but we literally invent new materials on like a monthly basis, with whether it's like plastic and when you make a new material, like you're usually making.
Yeah, but
it
the trick is
something.
To figure out which one's important. Like concrete is an important one.
Right.
Your flangey stuff, maybe not.
Well, yeah, but the thing is you can become the leading expert on like 17 different topics, and it's sort of like you become an expert on like a bunch of different stuff, so you can kind of get your name out there, and eventually you get, and you know, like it's all useless, nobody uses it, but it just gets your name up, you know, it like makes you a hotter, so you're like, dude, he's the expert on 17 different material structures. It's crazy. And then when the big one comes along and they're like, wow, we need somebody to be an expert on graphene, you're like, what's up? That's me. I'm already an expert on graphite and grappling and graminine and graminite and all the other grams. So I'm ready.
All right. Very cool. Before we call it quits,
okay.
I got one more genuinely quick one. Okay.
Okay.
It'll be quick on my part. We'll see if you can
interrupt.
Netflix has announced that they're bringing back social sharing. Before they could do this, actually, like share on Facebook and stuff, apparently there's a law that was put in place that said they couldn't. And so they had to get this law changed. Now that it's changed, they can bring back social sharing. Basically what it means is they'll have like two different new panels, I guess. I forget what those are called. Sections. I guess where you have like, here are what your friends' favorites are, which is based off of ones that they have rated very high. Then they'll also have like recently watched by your friends, which again, they're going to use Facebook to kind of pull in who your friends are. And I think there'll be a way for you to, I can't remember now, to publish out if you see a good one. Oh, I like this one. Share it. But at the very least, you'll rate stuff and it will just, it can only be on Netflix. So you don't have to go to Facebook. That's not, you know, they're not going to push you to do it.
Good.
But yeah,
Facebook.
Can share to Facebook or stop sharing altogether. That's right. But at the very least, you will see what your friends are enjoying. And I think you can, on an individual movie level, you can say, do not share my rating or the fact that I even watched this.
Yeah, that's
with
probably
my
good.
Friends. Yeah, so they'll be rolling it out sometime.
I watch some stupid movies sometimes. Not... Just
The end of this week is when it'll be happening. So,
okay, that's important. I'll have to pay attention to making sure that people don't know what movies I like.
Well, I think you got to connect to Facebook first, which you'll probably be prompted, in which case then you'll know.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, Netflix, getting a little social.
Hey,
it's good for them. Add some – and because they're doing the social with those two different rows, it'll be showing up on all of the different devices that they have, because it's, you know – it'll just be integrated. It'll just be like two other categories, just like what they currently have. So, cool.
Yeah, definitely.
I like it. Netflix, keep iterating. Keep finding ways to find cool movies for people. And I say people, not us, because as we all know, I no longer participate, which I will admit, there are times when I miss it. We were looking through, we were waiting for a movie to download last night on iTunes, Looper, by the way. And
oh, man.
So we were going through and just watching some trailers. And there was, I forget what the movie was, but I was like, if this were on Netflix and free, I would watch it. But I'm not about to pay $3 to watch this movie.
Yeah, I understand that.
So I was like, on Netflix, I'd watch this, but oh well.
Oh, well, Netflix is kicking themselves.
I did see Looper. Threw me for a loop.
It's pretty good.
It's
don't ruin it. I borrowed it from the internet the other weekend, so I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah, I give it an 8 out of 10. Is that a good score?
That is a good score. That's a pretty good score. What would you give Top Gun?
That's easily an 11 out of 10.
Nice. What would you give Star Wars Episode One?
So let me hear. Maybe this will help. I really, really, really like Ocean's 11.
Okay.
Which has no time travel, but you know,
is it as good as
with your mind?
Is it as good as any of the Back to the Futures? It's okay to say no, because those are some of the best movies ever made.
I know. Probably well, I'm just
movie made.
It's you know how sometimes you have this idea and you go, oh, wouldn't that be cool if?
Yeah.
And then you start thinking about how the mechanics of the world would have to work that you just created a scenario in.
Yes, I know.
And sometimes the mechanics of how time travel works like destroys a storyline. So yes. You have a choice. You either change the storyline or you change the way the mechanics of the world works.
Yes.
I think every single time travel movie suffers from that.
Yes.
And I think Back to the Future covered it up with hilarious humor.
Yeah.
This is a serious movie. Let's just put it that way.
Well, one of the most interesting things that I ever read was, so this is like so far off topic, but it was Orson Scott Card wrote a, he was writing an essay. Actually, it was part of like this huge compilation of short stories, but he wrote a short essay on time travel and his opinion on it. And because it's a big part of science fiction.
Yeah.
And his comment was really and truly that there's no such thing as good science. There's no such thing as good time travel because time travel is not real. I mean, like even the best physicists can't agree on what it would be like if it actually exists or generally really, I don't expect to ever figure it out. So there's no way to.
Dude, you're breaking up like crazy.
Okay. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, now I can for some reason.
Okay. Cool. So basically what his argument was is that when you make a science fiction about it, you actually have to get a little bit fantastic about it. Don't give it sci-fi rules. Give it fantasy rules and set it in a sci-fi universe. Because what you need – that's part of the creative process. Don't act like there's only one time travel mechanism because there's not. There's no good one. So just make up one that makes an interesting story. The story comes first and the science fiction – you know, the science comes second and focus on, and it just has to be that way.
That makes sense. And I guess
seeing this movie didn't do a great job of that.
Well, watch it and you tell me. And I will also, I guess another way to put it, cause I haven't seen every single time travel movie, but I would say, and this gets to your fantasy comment, the best implementation, I guess, that I've seen of it, would be the Harry Potter movie and maybe the book, but you know where
it's really funny because everybody I talk to thinks that that was like the worst implementation of time travel.
Well, in the sense, really, well, yeah. I think in the sense that, the timeline is consistent.
It's funny. I like it. I actually like it because exactly what Orson Scott Card said. With a mechanism that made for a good story, and they just kind of pushed it to the sidelines. That it doesn't need to make sense. Why does it need to make sense? Just to, you know,
thankfully Harry Potter, it's already in a fantastical universe where magic exists, and so therefore, don't worry about it.
And the problem becomes when you try to put rules to it. You're like, the rules don't make sense. They never make sense.
Which is the problem that this movie is not a fantasy movie. It's very much sci-fi, and so it. You know, it struggles with that. It's still enjoyable. You will like it. I'm not going to say it's not a bad movie. Like I said, it's an 8 out of 10. But it also, and it's, you know, the other thing that I would say Back to the Future also does a good job of is it makes it so complicated you have to spend years trying to figure it out and untangle it. And so some of the stuff, they get away with stuff because it's so complicated, you just take it on faith that they figured it all out. You know, when chances are they didn't. Whereas you get movies like this one, it's not complicated. And so in the middle of the movie, you can figure it out. And you can instantly start to poke holes in how this would work or wouldn't work, I guess. It's still a very interesting, supposable, what if situation. It's worth watching. You don't, and it's not like ridiculously predictable, which is also nice because I will say, because I have a tendency to try to guess the ending in my head, and I pick like, I was wrong like 3 times.
Nice.
So that's also, you know, in that sense, I like that. When a movie gets predictable, I'm like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like that's why I watch it. I already know it. Total off topic, but that's okay.
Yeah, that was good.
On that note, everybody, thank you for joining us. I am James Furlow, and my brother is Matthew Furlow. We will talk next time.